Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Daniel Dickinson at the United Nations in New York. In this week's programme, a Sri Lankan maternity hospital is reborn after the 2004 tsunami. And we take a look at a photo exhibit at UN headquarters, which highlights the role women play in peacebuilding. But first, global maternal mortality rates have dropped by almost 44% over the last 15 years. That's according to a report released by the United Nations. The report indicates that maternal deaths around the world fell from about 532,000 in 1990 to an estimated 303,000 this year. Maternal mortality is defined as a woman's death caused by pregnancy, childbirth, or within 6 weeks of having a baby. Veronica Reeves has the story.
The report highlights the important progress made in the area of maternal health under the Millennium Development Goals, or MDGs. It was issued jointly by a group of UN agencies, including the World Health Organization, or WHO, the UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, and the World Bank, among others. Lael Say is the coordinator of reproductive health and research at the WHO.
We see this as a huge progress, but the progress is uneven across countries, across different regions of the world.
Ms. Say reported that 9 countries with high levels of maternal mortality had met MDG number 5, which called for reducing the maternal mortality ratio by 3/4.
The region that recorded the greatest improvements is the Eastern Asia region, which showed a 72% reduction between 1990 and 2015 in maternal death rates.
Developed regions fared better than average with regard to reducing maternal deaths, with those countries seeing a reduction of 45% in the last 15 years. Nevertheless, developing countries continue to face serious challenges with regard to maternal death rates, with one region in particular struggling to keep pregnant women and new moms healthy.
99% of maternal deaths in 2015 are occurring or will occur in low-resource settings, with sub-Saharan Africa alone accounting for 2 out of every 3 deaths.
Severe bleeding, infections, complications from unsafe abortions, and hypertension disorders were the leading causes of death among women who died during or soon after pregnancy. Ms. Say said that most of those were preventable.
The biggest cause of maternal deaths is severe bleeding just after delivery. With a very cheap injection that women receive at the time of delivery, most of these deaths can be prevented.
Ms. Say said gathering information about instances of maternal deaths was of great importance, but that data collection remained a huge challenge.
We also recommend maternal death audits and reviews to understand and to ensure that we know why, where, and when these women die, and to learn how we can prevent similar deaths in the future.
The new Sustainable Development Goals include a new target on maternal mortality, aiming to reduce the ratio of maternal deaths to 70 per 100,000 births by 2030. WHO says the target is ambitious but achievable. The organization is urging countries to redouble efforts to increase women and girls' access to health care, strengthen health care systems, and provide training to health professionals. Veronica Reeves, United Nations.
More than 160,000 Sri Lankan children born since the devastating 2004 Indian Ocean tsunami can thank a German lawyer for their safe start in life. Kerstin Jeske Thorvart was celebrating Christmas at her home on the island nation when the tsunami struck, killing more than 200,000 people in 14 countries. Moved by the overwhelming loss and destruction, she mobilised more than 200 Rotary clubs in Germany to contribute to the rebuilding of a maternity hospital. For this effort, Ms. Jeske Thorvart was named one of 6 Global Women of Action by Rotary, the charitable organisation which has a long history with the United Nations. She told Diane Penn about the story behind Baby Hospital Gal.
I come to Sri Lanka 13 years ago when I married. It was the wedding time. And I also stay in Sri Lanka 2004 when the tsunami comes. I saw this with my own eyes, what was happened and what the waves destroyed.
What went through your mind when that happened? I mean, you must have been in grave danger. You must have seen a lot of people suffering.
Yes, it was horrible. We saw a lot of dead people, but it was Christmas time. And in the evening, we have a big celebration at our home. We have a house in Sri Lanka. And in the morning, we have to clean up the house. And that was the reason we luckily don't stay at the beach. But the waves hits the beach and all the town, and a lot of dead people, mostly children, were there, and we saw this horrible scene.
And tell us, so what led to the start of the project that you run there?
Yes, it's a maternity hospital, and daily they will deliver more than 40 to 70 babies daily. And a lot of women are treated there, and this hospital totally was destroyed. And we looked where the mothers are going. They all lay on the ground, and they was directly in the delivery, and we saw that it was necessary to help, and we asked the doctors what we can do, and the doctors say we have nothing and we need everything. So my husband and me, we go back to Germany, and then we start to look for our Rotary clubs, and we get a lot of money but also equipment, and we have the chance to bring all the equipment within 10 days to Sri Lanka so that the C-sessions can be done.
Kirsten Jeske-Thorvard, who was named by Rotary as one of six global women of action. Women's contributions to ending war and bringing about peace are being honoured in a photo exhibition which has just opened at UN headquarters in New York City. Poppies, Women and War features portraits of women and girls whose lives have been affected by conflict, alongside images of the flower that serves as a reminder of those who died in battle. Deanne Penn has the story.
Every November, people in the United Kingdom and across the former British Commonwealth wear replicas of bright red poppies to remember those killed during wartime. The tradition began nearly a century ago after the end of the First World War in 1918. The photographs in Poppies, Women and War are the work of British journalist and photographer Lee Karen Stowe. Among her admirers is Dame Barbara Stocking, president at Murray Edwards College, a women-only institution at the University of Cambridge in the UK, which co-sponsored the exhibition.
The photographs show women who have played different roles in different processes or have been victims themselves. And it's alongside poppies, which are often the symbol of remembrance, really. She has the most beautiful poppies in fields, white ones as well as red ones, because, of course, women in the 1930s used to really sort of try and persuade people to wear white poppies to look for peace, not just the remembrance itself.
The exhibition also references a UN Security Council resolution on women's contributions to conflict resolution and peace negotiations. Lakshmi Puri, Assistant Secretary General with UN Women, the UN's gender entity, spoke of its importance in her remarks at the opening.
The global study on the implementation of Resolution 1325 shares a huge body of evidence to show that actually women's engagement in peace and security increases the effectiveness and efficiency of humanitarian assistance, increases the likelihood of successful peace mediation and negotiation efforts, and dramatically reduces the likelihood of relapse into violence.
Ms. Puri was drawn to a photograph of two 10-year-old girls that was accompanied by a poem they had written.
You know, I was very moved by the poem, and it tries to capture the tension between what women stand for and what war brings. It talks about thudding destructive bombs, and then it says calmness, friendship, quietness, happy communities, evacuation, home. So, you know, it very eloquently captures how women are the real agents of peace and enablers of peace, and they should really be engaged.
Lakshmi Puri, Assistant Secretary General with UN Women, speaking about the photographic exhibition Poppies, Women and War, on display at UN headquarters through the 20th of November. Deanne Penn, United Nations.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. Thanks for listening. I'm Daniel Dickinson.